Today the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Glory be to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We give glory tonight. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to be speaking about mockers, and especially about what the scripture says about mockers and what they will be doing in the last days. So we invite you to open up your Bibles, and as we dive into the scriptures and see what the Word of God has for us tonight. Remember, you can reach us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. You can write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com. Also, remember, we have our Wednesday night Bible studies, which you can listen to directly from our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. If you have an iPhone or an Android phone, you can listen to the TuneIn Radio app. Just look for Radio Redemption and Power. We'll be posting that up on a link as a Facebook in case you want to listen to us from your phone and from any other remote location. Also, remember, you can find us on iTunes, where you can listen to all of our latest podcasts. We post them up every week, usually on there already by Tuesday or Wednesday, the latest. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, tonight we want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done and are doing in our lives. And Father, we pray for your people tonight, for them to understand, Father, the meaning of your message tonight, that we may all understand who are the mockers and what are we supposed to do with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
And everywhere I go, in all the people I see and meet, doesn't matter what they're doing or if they're walking down the street, doesn't matter at all, as long as I can see their eyes. And I've seen lots of lonely people before, and I know what it's like to be lost, to be a walking in the darkness, not knowing the presence of the Lord.
And I'm talking about Jesus. He's the one who frees us. His mercy pleases even my wildest dreams. What I ever thought of walking beside me, he's there to guide me. He's living inside me, and I know I'll never die.
And people like to laugh. They say that I am totally crazy for believing in a man who died 2,000 years ago. But I'm gonna go on and sing my song. I don't care if people laugh or say I'm wrong. I was walking in the darkness, but now I'm living in the presence of the Lord. I am talking about Jesus. He's the one who frees us. His mercy pleases even my wildest dreams. What I ever thought of walking beside me, one day old Gabriel's gonna blow his horn, and then the clouds in the sky are gonna part. There'll be 1,000, no, 1,000,000 angels all singing the praises of the Lord. And
then he's gonna step out on that big white cloud. He's got the book of life in his hands. He'll read my name out loud, and me and my brothers and sisters will rise up to the sky. We are talking about Jesus.
He's the one who frees us. His mercy pleases even my wildest dreams. What I ever thought of walking beside me.
Have you ever been made fun of, ridiculed, and mocked for believing in Jesus? This isn't something strange. It happens to everyone who is a true follower in Christ. A mocker is someone that tries to discredit a statement by making fun of it. This reminds me of a time when the Lord sent me to give a word in a church. After the service ended, one of the women from the congregation invited us to join her for dinner at her home. When we arrived, I sat in the dining room waiting for the dinner to be prepared. I heard the associate pastor and his wife talking to a gentleman about receiving Christ as his personal Savior. As they were introducing the plan of salvation to him, he laughed and mocked at what they were saying. Thankfully, this man later did receive Christ, but this reminds me about those that still haven't. This is a serious matter, folks, and it is sad to say, but some of these people are in our own family. Every time I think about the story of Noah, I start to imagine, as Noah was building the ark, what the people were saying about him. Look at this crazy man building an ark on dry land. Then I started to wonder about the final moments of their lives as the ark doors were shut and the waters started to raise. Who are the mockers? They are the people that are lost and unable to see the dangers of the coming storm. 2 Chronicles 36:16. But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his word, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, until there was no remedy. So how do we deal with these people that defile the word of God? We read in Mark 27:31 how the Roman soldier stripped Jesus off his robe, placed a crown of thorns on his head, and kneeled in front of him, mocking him and calling him the King of the Jews. Yet Jesus remained silent until the proper moment. When he was hung on the cross, they continued to haul insults at him. Then, in Luke 23:44-47, the Bible says that darkness came over all the earth, and the veil on the temple was torn in two. And he cried out with a loud voice to the Father and said, "Into your hand I commit my spirit." Luke 23:47-48. Now, when the centurion saw what had happened, he praised God and said, "Certainly, this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for the spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. Jesus chose to remain silent and instead vindicated his word with supernatural power. This is a good example for us to follow. It is easy to become upset and defensive when others mock the Holy Scriptures and what you believe in. Instead of lashing out and getting into a fighting match of words, we should remain silent, pray for them, and give them over to Christ. Remember, when Jesus ascended into heaven, He did not leave us as orphans. He sent His Holy Spirit to empower us in order to demonstrate and validate His Word. Therefore, this is a tool in which every Christian should use. However, the Word of God also teaches us that for those who refuse to listen, there will be consequences. Matthew 10:14-15. Whosoever does not receive you nor heed your words as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of judgment than for that city. Friends, as a follower of Jesus, we should expect people to call us names, laugh at us, and call us out in front of crowds. However, we must not forget that before we came to Christ, we also mocked Him. Therefore, we must look at these mockers as lost people without the understanding of who Christ is. At times, we may have to demonstrate to them that God is real by using the weapons in which God has given us through the Holy Spirit, such as words of prophecy, miracles, signs, and wonders. If they still don't listen, then do what the Bible says. Wipe your feet and continue your walk. God will deal with them.
One of the characteristics of the last days, among many other things, is the increase of mockers. People openly mocking the Word of God, people mocking anything that is related to the Bible, to Jesus. And we see that Peter, in his second epistle, in chapter 3, he says to us, starting in verse 1, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, and both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking in their own lusts." And that word scoffers means someone that is a mocker, someone that comes to make fun of things. And never has there been a time here in the United States where we have seen such blatant mockery of the holy things of God. Every day on primetime television, news media outlets, and all other forms of entertainment, the world wages war against the principles of God. They portray Christians as dumb, irrelevant, and buffoons. They mock Jesus and the Bible and delight in all the things that anger God. But there was a time when this nation had reverence for God, and even the ones that did not believe would be cautious in publicly mocking the things of God. I remember watching in a documentary how back in 1966 here in the United States, when the Beatles came, John Lennon mocked Christianity and Jesus. And I remember seeing in that documentary how many at that time stood up. They burned their records. They publicly protested this mockery. So far that even some radio stations banned from the air their records. There was an uproar, and that uproar made such an impact that even forced John Lennon to make a public apology. And now we fast forward to today, and we have men who publicly mock God, who mock the Bible, and they get voted into public offices. How far have we gone from the nation we once were? Recently, I heard about a new program soon to be released on a popular television channel glorifying Lucifer, making him seem like a nice guy. And this is important because this reflects the heart of the people of this nation. Not only are the men and women that produce this garbage wicked, but also those that are consuming it. You see, these marketers of sin and evil are only in business because people buy and watch their stuff. America has forgotten God, and through generations of secular indoctrination, through evolution and sexual education in the public schools, we have become a nation whose greatest commodity is sin. Peter says, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Here, Peter makes it clear that this is something important because he mentions it first. And he tells us that these mockers will walk after their own lusts. That is, in fact, the motto of this generation. Do what you want, which is, in fact, the satanic creed. So by definition, we have become a satanic nation. When we think of the word satanic, we often picture grotesque images of demons and dark rituals, which is in fact true. But we forget that Satan's main characteristic is rebellion. In fact, the name Satan means opposer or adversary, because he opposes and is adversary to all that God has established. By this definition, we can see that there are many satanic Christians and satanic pastors who oppose the word of God. Though they appear to look like sheep, they will not have Christ to rule over their lives. They rather do what they want, living their lives in the pleasure of this world rather than taking pleasure in God. We have pastors who are openly embracing homosexuality either because they don't know the word of God or they don't care what the word of God says. Their desire for acceptance has taken preeminence over God in their lives. They are walking according to their own lusts, as Peter says. And one of the reasons why mocking the things of God is so grievous is not only because it is bringing dishonor to the Holy One, the Creator of life, but because mocking is usually accompanied with blasphemy. And believe it or not, some of the worst sins are the ones we commit with our mouths. Jesus tells us in Matthew 12:31, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Brothers and sisters, we must be careful to think before we speak. The way we speak has an incredible impact in our lives. James tells us in James 1:19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath." And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us why. He tells us in Matthew 12:36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." We need to be careful with our words. A person whose life has been transformed by God will also reflect that in their speech. We see that mockers are not afraid to speak blasphemies. They're not afraid to speak things that are contrary to the word of God, that are shameful. And Peter also tells us what else characterizes a mocker. In verse 4 of 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, "And saying..." Speaking about these mockers, this is what they're saying. "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." We're seeing that today less and less people, including people that call themselves Christian, less and less believe and are looking forward to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christians 30 years ago were more expectant of the imminent return of Christ than they are today. Now we see that the Greek word translated saying in 2 Peter 3:4 also means affirming. When we as Christians live as if Christ is not coming back soon, we are sending a message that we don't take Christ's promise seriously. You see, we are called to be right with God today. We cannot allow unconfessed sin to linger in our lives. We cannot say, "I will sin today and repent tomorrow." Firstly, because we are presuming that tomorrow will come. How many went to sleep last night who never saw this morning? How many will go asleep tonight and never see tomorrow? We are called to live today. In fact, Paul says in Galatians 6:7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whosoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Paul's saying, don't lie to yourself. God cannot be mocked. And this is something that's very important. When we think that we can do things and get away with them, our behavior is mocking God. But Paul says, God cannot be mocked. What we sow, that also we will reap. You see, one of Satan's greatest deception is that you can live a life of sin without ever experiencing the consequences of sin. He always paints a pretty picture of sin, and he hides the destruction that it will bring. He doesn't allow you to see it. He doesn't allow you to see the fine print. He shows you how cool it looks and how good it feels to smoke, but he doesn't show you the picture of the man coughing out his lungs, dying of cancer. Yet even though he knows he's dying, the addiction is so strong that he cannot quit. He doesn't show you the picture of the man or the woman dying of AIDS because they chose to live a life of promiscuity. And by the way, it only takes one time for your life to be ruined. And Peter continues in verse 5 and he says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished." Brother Lewis was speaking about when the flood came. And this is in fact what Peter is referring to. And Peter is connecting this with what he's saying about the mockers. And the very first thing that he starts, verse 5, he says, they are willingly are ignorant. And it's not that they don't know, it's that they don't want to know. Peter says they willingly do not want to know the truth. And the reason why the world wants to believe in evolution is because they don't want to believe that there is a God, because if there is a God, then we must answer to Him and that He will judge the world. And it's not that the world doesn't want to know that God is real, it's that they don't want to know. Look what the word says in Psalms 2:1. "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves as the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." See, the reason mockers make themselves ignorant is because they want to break from the authority of God, from the commandments of God. They don't want a God that tells them not to engage in sexual immorality. They don't want a God that tells them that they can't do what they want. That's why they say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. They don't want the authority of God over their lives. It's not that they're ignorant, it's that they're willingly ignorant because there is evil in their hearts. And that's exactly what happens to a person that is laden with sin. They love sin. When we were in the world, unless we experienced the pain of sin, we enjoyed it because it was part of our nature. And that's the reason why humanity willingly makes itself ignorant of the existence of God. All these wicked men that work behind the scenes, working to remove every aspect of God's word from society. I'm sure today they may be feeling as if they're winning, and it may appear to be so, but their master has deceived them into thinking they're on the winning side, because even he knows that his time is short. They think that they can outsmart God. They actually think they can have victory over the Lamb. But the Lord says to them in verse 4, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." God laughs at these men who think they are God, who think they can take away His dominion. That's why, brother and sister, we should not fear the things that are coming upon the earth, the things that these wicked men devise behind closed doors and secret chambers. The Lord says that He looks at them And he laughs. And in verse 5 he says, "Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure." The word "speak" in Hebrew is the word "dabar," which is the Hebrew equivalent of the word "logos," which is also the title of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says he shall speak unto them in his wrath. His dabar, his word, would exercise the wrath of God. And Jesus is coming to the earth to exercise the wrath of God. And with one breath, he will destroy the beasts and those who dare to blaspheme the name of the Most High. And we see that this is a characteristic of the Antichrist and the Antichrist spirit. It is a spirit of mockery and blasphemy towards the word of God and his people. Look at what 2 Thessalonians 2:8 says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." If we truly believe that Christ's return is imminent, then let our lives reflect that. Let our lives reflect that his coming is soon. Paul says in Ephesians 5:14, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See them that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Brothers and sisters, we are to redeem the time. We are to be aware that time is short. And understand, as the increase of mockers grows daily, even within the church, or people that call themselves Christian. I remember hearing a story last Friday in the Kapow show about how there was a seminary here in the United States passing out condoms with the homosexual symbol, mocking things of God. And if this is something coming out from a place that will call itself a Christian organization, what can we expect of the world? Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to grip ourselves strongly to the Word of God and understand that the increase of these things is a sign that Christ's coming is soon. And like Brother Lewis was saying, even though they will revile us, even though every day as people become more hardened in their hearts and more bitter towards the Word of God, because it reveals the sin in man. And that's why people, sinners, cannot stand the Word of God, because it shines light upon our sin. And Jesus said that men hated the light. And the reason is because the light shines and shows us that there's something wrong in us. In fact, recently, I believe it was in, I forgot what state it was in the United States, but for pastors that wish to volunteer in helping youth that are having trouble, they were forced to have to sign a document that they would not call homosexuality sin. And you see, this is in fact, this is the sentiment. We see that the sentiment is that the reason why the world hates the Word of God is because it brings conviction. And the issue is not about politically correct. It's not about hurting somebody else's feelings. It's about conviction. They don't want to feel conviction. And that's why the Bible says that in the last days, they will heap teachers that would, according to their own desires, because people will have itching ears. They want to hear something. They want to be tickled. They don't want to be convicted. We see that when Peter was preaching the gospel to the Jews in the book of Acts, the Bible says they were cut at the heart. They were convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the issue. People don't want to be cut at the heart. It is offensive today to preach the Word of God for those reasons. But brothers and sisters, we must continue to be faithful and also be wise. In fact, Jesus says, "Do not give that which is holy to the dogs. Do not cast your pearls before swine." Let us allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in evangelism. We see that when the Holy Spirit was building up his church, it was the Holy Spirit that was leading them. We see that the Holy Spirit took Philip and led him to the Ethiopian. And after he was done testifying to him and baptizing him, he caught him up. And we see that the Holy Spirit, we need to start walking according to the Spirit of God and allowing him to lead us where he desires for us to go. So we not cast our pearls before swine and give those things which are holy to dogs. Let us be led by the Holy Spirit and be wise, as Paul tells us. We've been entrusted with the most valuable thing, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Something that we see that Paul so greatly fought for to preserve, and we must preserve it. Even if there's those out on the outside that are bringing mockery by their behavior, by the things that they're saying, we see that this prosperity gospel has brought mockery to the people of God. It has become blasphemed because of those that have not walked according to the Word of God. And that's why it's so important for us to walk according to the testimony that we have received, and that we watch the testimony that we have. Because how can we have the ears of those that are in the world if we are in our lives are not walking holy? That's why if we want to have the power to be able to witness to others, then we also must be living lives of cleanliness, life of holiness, so that they may see that what we are preaching is truly what we live.
Amen. One of the things, Pastor Javer, that we could see about the life of Jesus and the mockers is how he was able to maintain his cool in the middle of being spit at, whipped at, mistreated, and abused. And one thing that the devil wants us to do is to lose our cool. And he wants us to lose our cool in front of other people, so that we are judged by them. So one of the things that we need to do is know the right time to speak and when is the right time to demonstrate what God wants us to demonstrate in order to turn those people's hearts to Christ, if it is His will. And one of the things that really, you know, impacted me about Jesus is that in the middle of the mocking, that they were mocking Him at the cross, you know, the numbers of things that the Jews and the Romans were lashing at him and everything else, yet he had time to say, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." See, this is an incredible word, because the problem is that a lot of people really don't know what the outcome of this is going to be. Most people out there don't know or fear God. They don't know what's going to happen in the last days. They think, just like many of us did when we were out in the world, that this is just a joke. This is a fairy tale. This is something that people have been saying for many years, and it's never going to amount to anything. But you know what? I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I said, you know, there are some things that happen when, the end of the world was about to happen. And we see in the days of Noah, that the world was corrupt. We see homosexuality and, you know, corruption in the world, and the flood came. Then we see the same manner of things going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And then all of a sudden, fire came from heaven and they were destroyed. And now we see the same things happening today. The same things are unfolding today. We see that a nation that's supposed to be under God compromising with things of the devil. So I'm not saying this is going to happen today, because that's not what the Bible says. But what I am saying, that we need to be watchful, because the end is coming soon. And for those people that are lost and that they don't know Christ, you know, they need to start understanding that this is not a fairy tale, but this is a truth that is just around the corner.
every creature prophesied as a spirit in the bride. Bid the King of Kings draw nigh, draw nigh.
Heavenly Father, blessed be your holy, holy, holy name, Lord. Father, we come before you tonight, Lord, and we ask you to give strength to your people, Lord, as the days become darker, Father, and as your people become more and more ridiculed, we pray that you give us strength, Father. You give us strength as Jesus was when he was being reviled and ridiculed, Lord, that we may take his example, Father, and not answer back, and to be silent, Father, and rely upon your strength, Lord, unless your Holy Spirit prompts us to speak, and that you may give us wisdom, Lord, to answer those that ask us why it is that we believe what we believe. That we, Father, would not be ignorant of your word, that we not be ignorant, Father, of your truth, but that you will give a zeal for your people, Father, for us to search your scriptures. So that, Father, we can, you, as your scripture says, Father, you use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Thank you, Father, because we know that you will give us grace for the hour in which we'll need it. For we need your grace every hour, every minute, every second of the day. We need your strength, Father. And we pray, Father, that you will give us boldness, Lord, in these last days, to stand firm, to not leave our posts, Lord, that you have given us. Even, Father, if it seems like there may be loss, but we know that we have victory in Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors through our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello, you're in the air.
Hello, Louis. It's your wife, Ingrid. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I felt compelled to call in because the program is, is so edifying and so impacting, and I think that our audience really needs to understand what both of you have been speaking about tonight is so strong. And unfortunately, as Brother Javier had said earlier, so many people are taking it so lightly, and as you had indicated, they do nothing but mock the believers of Christ. But one of the things that they fail to understand, all these mockers, these people that constantly ridicule and put people down that believe in Christ or are trying to spread his gospel, is that the reason we're doing this, the reason why we're going out, we're not afraid of persecution. We laugh at people that laugh at us. That doesn't scare us away. But what they fail to understand is that we've already won. As believers of Christ, we have won, have the victory. And all we're trying to do is give them an opportunity to receive and have victory that we've already received. And one of the things also that they don't see is that we serve a great and mighty God, a God that is omnipotent and omniscient, and that there's nothing that any man or any devil can do that's greater than God's wrath. And the unfortunate thing is that although we serve a Father of second and first and third chances, there will come a time where he will turn those away. And if he turns them away, they're going to suffer. You can't even imagine the suffering that they're going to have in this world. It goes beyond what words say. But an example of this is on Romans 1:28-30, where it says, furthermore, since they do not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossip, slander, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil, and they disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. This is really strong for the word to say that. It's a devastating thing to know that if you are not a follower of Christ, that one day the Lord will just turn you over to your own depraved mind, and you will suffer in this world, and you will go to hell. That's the problem, that the people fail to see that the choice they're making is going to lead them to a death, an eternal death, where there is no return. And it's just so strong that I needed to share this and hope that someone that is listening out there that perhaps has walking with one foot in Christ and one in the world understands that the choice that they're making them is leading them to life or death. And there is no choice. I would think that most people out of human nature would want to live and live for a God that a God that they can serve and a God that will give them eternal life and victory in Jesus Christ. And I just wanted to share that tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
God
bless you guys. Continue to speak what
you're
speaking because it's very important. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
You know, one of the things, Pastor Javer, that I'm well aware of, is that the reason why these people do these type of things is because inside their heart, there's something that's nugging, that's tugging on them. That they know that inside their heart, it bothers them. And it bothers them because they know it's a truth. You know, they may feel in the exterior that, you know, that they lash out and all these things, but inside they know that they're lashing out because there's something that's convicting them of this sin. You know, that somewhere inside of them, there's something that they're saying, well, this is a reality, but I'm not going to fall into this, and I'm going to fight for this, and I want other people to agree with me on this. And this is why you got all these mockers out there. The reason why there's mockers out there, because they don't want people to know the truth, and they want to win as many people, you know, to come to their side. But the fact of the matter that one day when God comes again, this time will be to judge the world, there's nobody that could hide. Cause it's all gonna be seen when everything comes apart. And there will be no places to run. And that's when people are gonna have to deal with the situation. And the reason why we're here, and the reason why we're telling, you know, the world about this is because, you know, when God comes, nobody in the world will be able to say that they didn't know Christ or they didn't know about him. And then it's going to be a very bad situation.
And you know, Brother Lewis, one of the interesting things is that these scoffers, you know, these atheists and people that mock Christianity. They mock us for believing the word of God. They mock us for believing in a God of justice, for believing that Jesus Christ came to save his people. Yet they don't stop to analyze the foolishness that they believe. See, one of the biggest religions that exists is the belief in evolution, because there's no proof for evolution, yet you have as so many people believing things that have no basis. And they worship materialism. They worship pleasure. And they don't realize it because we live in a world where those things are considered normal. But they don't stop to be able to analyze what it is that they believe. Regardless, we continue to walk in the righteousness of God through that he's given us through his word, through our Lord Jesus Christ. We continue to trust in him because there's ample proof. The Bible, just like Ms. Ingrid had mentioned from that scripture that she had read, the Lord has revealed himself in his creation. And the issue is that men did not want the truth. They didn't have the love of the truth. And that's exactly what's going on, because if we look back, maybe 100 years ago, the majority of the scientists that made the greatest discoveries were actually believers. Sir Isaac Newton, the one who discovered the law of gravity, he was a Bible-believing Christian. He wrote a lot of commentary in the book of Revelations. But it's so recent where there is a vehement fight with scientists against the Bible. That they want to deny that there is a God when there's ample proof of it. In fact, one of the interesting things that they've recently discovered is that they're finding tissue in dinosaur bones. They're opening up dinosaur bones and they're finding a tissue that hasn't rotten away, which is proving that the world is not as old as they say. It is not billions and billions of years old, because we see that the word of God is true. There is no such thing as evolution. Right, we thank you for listening tonight. We invite you to visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, and as well as finding us on iTunes and on Facebook. May the Lord bless you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nations shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.